Shut up. West Coast of Melbourne from Optus Stadium. Footy's on the
radio. This is the Week in Triple M Footy.
Triple M ranks football.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
G'day, it's JB. We all know purple is the best newsbreaker in the business. And yesterday, on the Saturday rub, we were a touch shocked when he turned onto one of our own.
It involves someone in the box, Jim, and cut to the chase. It involves our good friend Bill Brownless, last Saturday said this about his beloved Cats.
Give us the centre clearances, because I get a feeling the Hawks have dominated in that area today.
Yeah, 8-4 in that second quarter. It was 6-love.
How can you have Ablett, Selwood, Dangerfield?
I'll tell you, because they're lazy.
Oh, boy.
Boy, former great Bill Brownless.
Lazy midfield.
Criticising the all-conquering midfield of the Cats.
Except for Dangerfield, I'll give him that.
Oh. Ooh. Now, fair to say a rock in the pond.
It was. Now, two things about this. Bill Brownless's knowledge of football is unparalleled. He just doesn't like to promote it too much.
It's not that good.
Okay, it's very good. Can we give him very good? Okay.
Not between two and fourth.
It's very good. You know footy. Yeah. You don't often express a strong opinion, but it is very good, and no one should question it.
Yes.
Secondly, Jim.
Yes.
And this is where the antenna does kick in. The reaction to such comments, when people go the man, as they did on Bill Brownless during the week, you know there's some truth in the duck.
Yep.
And they went you, Bill, didn't they? Chris Scott went you, the coach?
In a jokingly.
No, he wasn't joking. He was very serious. Danger went you, the great Danger went you.
In a jokingly way.
So, Jim, we did do some forensic analysis. We sensed that there was some real sort of angst between Bill and the club, and there was arrangements with the club, and we then find out with our spies down at the Cats that Monday morning, Bill is spotted in at Cadinia Park, inside the building.
Bill.
What?
Tail between legs.
No.
Bill.
Did you go in to apologise?
No, I did
you
not,
did.
Duck. And don't go that way either. Don't you jump on the bandwagon with these flogs here.
You were seen talking to players, just making sure they're okay.
I had a meeting because I was doing a charity gig down at the footy club, and I had a meeting with a bloke called Cameron.
Charity gig?
A bloke called Cameron.
Charity gig.
That's it, Brian.
I doubt it.
On a Wednesday morning. And I had to go down.
This was Monday morning you were spotted.
But I had I had the meeting Monday to get the running sheet, Damien.
Tuesday, were you back in the building?
Hello.
Were you seeing Brian Cook on Tuesday to maybe just explain to him that the petrol card arrangement and the access to the car, is that still okay? Was that Tuesday morning?
No, Bill.
The car's gone.
Oh, no.
our friend of Bill. Mazda.
And then, Jim, this is where the antenna went right up.
No.
You're back in there Wednesday.
Oh, Bill.
I've been in Melbourne for three. I went once.
And you were spotted
twice.
With Frank Costa having a coffee
Francis.
Along the waterfront.
You are.
You were worried about the ambassador role that you've got,
Bill,
in perpetuity.
Bill.
And then
I bought a restaurant along the waterfront.
You had a coffee with Frank Costa.
No,
and then Jim.
Damien.
Who else did he run into?
Wrong.
Was that a planning permit issue?
Yeah, so we just need a few more people in the restaurant downstairs, and you go and see Frank. But
the medical staff actually got worried about you by the end of the week, Jim.
Oh, no.
Jeff Allen, the great Jeff Allen.
No.
You were spotted in his office looking at some scans.
Were you, Bill?
Was I? What was I looking at?
What were the scans of?
I don't know. What are you talking about here, Duncan?
After your backflip, after being nervous about it, they wanted to make sure you indeed had a spine.
Oh!
Oh, Damien!
Little crisp one at the end.
That's the funniest thing you've said.
Bill.
No.
Bill.
But I'm a lover of the club.
You went.
I'm not a fighter.
My mail is that you were in there, you caught up with Tommy Stewart. One of the other defenders. You ran into danger.
Well, and Jed Buse.
Jed Buse.
What do you need to sign off with Jed Buse for?
Well, because he's got a little power down the back line. I just had to keep them together. No. That's who I was interviewing on Wednesday morning, by the way. Tom Stewart and Jed Buse.
And danger. They needed a pre-question period.
Well, you know what it is like, Brian. If you're going to have a good show, you have a little chat talk beforehand.
I would have thought you would be doing that sort of stuff.
Anyway, and then Brian Cook was in the restaurant, the coffee shop.
So you did see Brian Cook?
I did see him.
Everything I've said is 100%
correct. I said, g'day, Cook. He must have been busy.
Bill
Carter.
Cole Carter, the president.
You
even squared it off with the president.
Well, he didn't acknowledge me. And then they had a Hall of Fame dinner last night.
Any sign of Anthony Williams?
No info. Anyway, I went to Vizzy. They were 70 years old. A very good show at Crown last night.
Was it? Yeah.
You don't normally venture into this hard space, but you did. And you wanted to back out of it.
I'm taking them on.
Do you stand by those comments?
Oh, I'm not sure. But they were lazy in that second quarter, and you know that, Duck, and you know that, Brian. You've seen a lot of footy.
It set it off, though, Jim, didn't it? Oh, it was the news theme of the week.
It might be something they needed. Just a little whack. Yeah. Yeah?
Is this a one-off experience? Will you go down the hard line again today? Can we expect something today?
Well, and there's other issues abroad.
Oh, hello.
Well,
what are they?
Oscars.
That was the other thing
I couldn't prove. You were spotted in Stephen Wells' office as well.
Just keep it.
I didn't know it was about Oscar. But,
Bill. You didn't drop into Wellesley.
Troy Selwood.
Because Oscar could go father-son.
No,
it might have jeopardised this.
Not anymore. Anyway.
Bill.
We've got to talk to Brian about his moustache, too. We've got to bring that up.
This is medical. I've never known covering off more comprehensive than this. So one sentence you've uttered in 20 years, you normally blow that much wind up Geelong's freckle that the bloody thing becomes a Zeppelin.
Couldn't get a hold of Joel. I just couldn't find him.
Bill, it's nigh on pathetic.
No, I did see Paddy Dangerfield.
Yeah.
And you know what he said? I can't talk to you. I'm lazy. So a bit of ha-ha.
Right.
No.
But then he kept going. No, he was good. He was a bit of fun. As we know, Paddy's up for it. And so it's all good now. We've all cleared the
air.
Yeah, all cleared. All clear.
Ahead of West Coast and Melbourne from Optus Stadium.
This is the Week in Triple M Footy.
Chris Judd, the two-time Brownlow medal winning premiership star, joins us in the studio. Welcome you, Juddy.
Duke.
Bit of drama down at St Kilda, Juddy, as a board member of a football club. What's it like? Does it feel like you're under siege if you're at St Kilda at the moment? A lot of talk about the board changing over, changing administration and coaches everywhere.
Oh, look, it does. I mean, we're in the same boat at Carlton, not so much in the sense of staff turnover, but we've had a really tough year as well. So anyone who's been involved at a footy club knows how challenging those years can be. But it's also the time when you learn the most about who's prepared to dig in. You learn most about people's grit and their resolve. And St Kilda will be finding out those sorts of things with different people. But certainly when they announced that it was almost a clean out of their assistant coaches, I think they announced a week or two ago, there's no doubt that's, I suspect, would have a pretty significant cost on the general energy that the group's experiencing.
Hey, Jay, the Coaches Association wanted for assistant coaches, I think, by August to know whether or not they were going to be employed next year at the same club because they wanted to give them time to find employment elsewhere. Do you reckon that might have backfired? Because I look now and you see you've got...
What the Players Association and the Coaches Association came up with an idea that doesn't actually work in the
world? Well, I look at clubs and you go, you've got people who aren't going to be there next year who are sitting around walking dead, effectively.
Yeah.
It's not a good look, is it?
No, it's not. And it's a bit like once, if you're a boss of a company and you get told you're no longer there, but you're remaining around for 3 months, having people listen to what you say and act accordingly just gets greatly reduced because they know you're not going to be around in a period of time. And that's one of the huge challenges. It's hard enough when your assistant coach gets
good time for the assistant coaches, though, to steal some, say, stationery, you know, get some sneakers, a couple of mouth guards, you know, that sort of thing.
It's a perfect example. It was done with a good intention, right? Good intention. It's totally impractical and ridiculous for everybody involved. Totally.
Yeah.
It's hard for, but you know what, for, you know, football is a high risk business to get into. Risk reward is there. If you get in and you're good at what happens, you get paid well and it's a fantastic lifestyle. If it doesn't quite come up, and sometimes good people just end up at the wrong club at the wrong time, that's the roll of the dice. It's no different to show business, no different to everything else, but this perfect scenario we're getting, and I think it even goes down to the playing groups at times as well, does, where you get on a list and you're there for 2 years, whether you're a superstar and watching your skin folds, or you're going through the drive-through every day of the week and turning up like a goose and just wasting everyone's time, as they famously called them, the bread roll thieves. You know, but that you want it on the sword of Democles, because you don't want the psychological issues that come with that. Yeah. But there is a balance there.
Alan Richardson's coaching for his life at the moment. He's got four or five assistants around him that know they're not going to be there next year, who themselves are probably going through a bit of turmoil. It's just untenable almost.
I think sometimes with these policies you look for a sort of a utopia, what would be the perfect way, and utopias just don't exist. I think the old way was fine. Was it perfect? No. But what they've replaced it with, I think, is problematic.
Can I ask about this one, Juddy? Is there a danger that when you're going after players and the players don't come to your club, that eventually that says something about your club? Like, you know, St Kilda have made some big... Well, it's been reported that St Kilda have made some big money deals to some various players and they've all kind of said no to St Kilda.
Accurate. They've actually said that that's the case. Yeah.
After a while, if you don't land one of those big fish, does it kind of reflect on you that, like, oh, man, we can't even get a guy with a broken leg, you know, who hasn't really run at full speed for 2 years, like on a 5-year contract for $9 million a year, and even he doesn't want to come.
Look, I mean, it potentially does, but also, I mean, take the Kangaroos model, who have also been really high profile and missing out on some serious players. I still think they've done the right thing. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're targeted in who they want. The other thing is, at least if you're missing out on players, it shows you're not just trying to get whoever you can. You're essentially quite targeted in who you want, and the nature of the game is it's a bit of a failure game when you're trying to recruit big name players. You're not going to catch them all, so I think you're better off to be active and to fail than just to not even try at all.
Ahead of West Coast and Melbourne from Optus Stadium,
this is the Week in Triple M Footy.
G'day, it's Mark Howard. This week on the Friday Huddle, I wanted to find out how Juddy, Brownie and Darce played in their first reserves game, starting with this pre-game quote from Juddy's coach at East Perth, Tony McHale.
Chris Judd in particular is an added bonus to us today. He was an unexpected inclusion. He's a young player that's form's been very, very good in the Wizard Cup matches. A very, very promising type. He's quick across the ground. He's hard at the football and he's a very penetrating player. And, you know, obviously we're pleased that he's playing here today, but for Chris's future, obviously his aims are set far higher, and you know, I wouldn't envisage that he'd spend too much time at the football club.
Famous quote, I wouldn't envisage he'd spend too much time at the football club. I thought that was after the game. That was before, before he actually played. Memories of that day, Judge?
Oh, I remember it well. I remember after the game, a lot of people coming up and saying it was like the first time they ever heard Elvis. You know, they still remember it. That was a natural reaction for them to have. But the main feeling I remember was just being embarrassed. And
embarrassed?
Just embarrassed for the match committee for making such a poor decision. And it got proved to be a poor decision, and they learnt their lesson, Howie. And that's the main thing. They were better people for it.
That was round one of the first game available for the Judd man to play, and then never went back again.
Didn't go back, no.
Wasn't required?
That was enough. Yeah.
So back onto the MCG the week after, didn't you, I think? Round two that year.
Yes.
And was that the game Brodie Holland
kicked eight, I reckon. Yeah.
How'd you go in your first game against Collingwood?
You got a Brownlow vote from memory, wasn't
right.
it? Right. You got one, I think.
Oh, I don't think I did technically, but should have, Damien. So,
so it got me thinking, firstly you, Noodles, how many games of VFL would you have played over your stretch?
In 97-98, I played about half in the reserves, half in the seniors, so probably around 22 or 23.
So were you playing for the Footscray VFL
Footscray
team?
Then. The first memory I had was playing as an under-18, so back in those days you used to go up and fill in if they were short. So the first one I did play was at the Bulldogs, and I had to go around to a guy's house to be picked up, called Stephen Collingwood, obviously number two. But the carload going out to the airport, because this game was in Sydney, so I was only a young, I think just turned 17.
Still have your long hair?
Yeah, still had the long hair. And in this car were four guys, Stephen Collingwood, who's a rare human being, Alan Jakovic, who was an even rarer human being. Some of the things he spoke about, I still haven't envisaged would ever happen in life.
I didn't know there was a crossover with Jakovic.
James Cook, another one, and Hugh Reimers. And Darce, you know all four of those. Could you get a weirder carload?
That is almost the start of a joke you can't tell. That is just...
that's what went wrong, you think?
It may well have been the influence. It was great to see Alan Jakovic back in
time. He's into some weird stuff, Yaka.
He had the locker next to me at that stage, Howie. And I'm like Brownie. There was things that he got up to that I've never, ever heard of or seen before. It was an education, wasn't it?
A real education.
How was the VFL in the day?
I think I did pretty well back then, yeah. We won a premiership at the Dogs.
Did you?
Yeah, not often talked about.
You played in that?
Yes.
Who'd you beat?
The Bombers, I think.
Okay.
I think.
And Darce, how many games have... Because often it takes, and I say this with complete respect, often it takes the bigger types longer to develop. They might spend more time in the reserve categories.
Not the really good
when
ones,
you've got
Howie.
The coordination of Bambi.
Not the really good ones. Didn't linger down there too long, Howie.
How many games, do you reckon?
Probably... Oh, I don't want to get this wrong. You've probably got the stat, have you?
No,
but
I don't.
Maybe in the 20s, I reckon. Maybe a few more.
Yeah, maybe a few more. maybe in the 30s.
30s, was
maybe
it?
Maybe in the 30s.
We won a premiership the first year too. North Melbourne. We should have a reunion, actually.
We should have.
What do you reckon, Brent?
You didn't ever get dropped, though, did you, Daz?
Once I got dropped once. Yes, 1998.
Ridiculous. I should never have jumped.
So in between the two prelims? Obviously.
In between the two prelims, yeah. Player dropped me in 98. Yeah.
And you obviously got back in.
1 week. Yeah. That was enough.
What was it like, the VFL, back in the day?
Well, it was great, Howie, and I love, and I see an article today about maybe trying to go back to the under-19 days. I love the fact you played the curtain raiser. You had all the AFL guys got down early, and they were standing on the boundary lines and watched, got there early, watched most of the game, and then you could actually change and go, this is where I need to be. I want to be back out here. And the crowds would get there early. Supporters got to know who you were, whether or not you were going to be someone they thought was going to be around for a while. I love the old reserve system.
I used to love seeing the under-18s guys playing in the reserves as a kid growing up. I thought that was brilliant when that used to happen. But
it used to be televised. Brilliant. More of it.
I've just got a few numbers through from your combined first senior games, and obviously all went on to have outstanding careers and something Damien and I could only dream of. Chris, in your first AFL game against Collingwood, 19 touches, and apparently a very, very nice outing for you.
19, so kicked one, gave off three, good for four.
Right, yeah. So 19. Nate, you did well for a young bloke from the country. You had 8 touches, but apparently almost going at 100% efficiency.
That's good.
Absolutely fantastic. Now, Daz, your first game, they were very effective, though. You had 2 touches, but they were very good.
Both handballs.
Yeah, and in your second game, unfortunately, you didn't have any handballs. And just further delving down into the stats, you didn't have any kicks either.
Oh, donuts in the second game.
And actually hit outs. Zero.
So, total donuts.
I don't know if you're playing in the ruck.
No, that can't be right.
But you didn't have a kick, a handball, or a hit.
That can't be right.
But no kicks in his first game or second.
No, that's right.
Slow start.
I thought Kate Simpson was the only person who did that.
In that second game, do you remember if you spent much time in the ruck?
I can't remember the second game at all, Howie.
I don't think anyone else can either,
but back then, if you do remember, Howie, in the reserves, you'd be starting on the bench and you might not get on until the 20-minute mark of the last quarter. You'd get 5 minutes out in the ground and then the runner would come out to you. So when you got dragged and you didn't go back on.
That was the end of your day.
Yeah. Rotations these days. So you were lucky to play 5 or 6 minutes, but not defending dust. They're disgraceful stats.
Well, it gets worse, Brady.
It does, because I've actually been giving you stats for your third game where, you know, you're one handball was outstanding, but you didn't have a kick that day. Oh,
so it is Kate Simpson.
So in your first 3 games of AFL senior football, you did not put boot on leather dust.
Jeez, dude, I came with a rush after that. I was actually telling the story this week, and in my mind it was my third game. I've got no great recollection of it, but we had a runner at the time, and this is a true story. His name was Chris Burton, and you remember Burton? Yep. Played about 70 games, great fella Burts, but he had the ability, Damo, to deliver the message from the coach and then add 25% on top of the message. So player was savage in those days. So his message would be bad. I remember he came out, I was playing on Chris Langford in one of those early games, and he came out and he delivers the message he delivered. He goes, and I could see him coming and I knew it was coming for me. And he goes, mate, the coach reckons you're playing the worst quarter in VFL AFL history. I'm playing on Chris Langford, who starts. I can see his shoulders because he's laughing so much. And he goes, "You know what's funny?" He goes, "What's funny? He's going to leave you out here because he doesn't think he can play any worse." And then trotted off the ground at that point. How do you reckon my confidence was going at that stage? I'm going, mate, I'm on the plane back to Adelaide. That's the end of my very short career.
Hi, it's Eddie Maguire. Right now, Triple M is rocking footy.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
And tomorrow we'll have all the big footy stories out of a mess of round 22 as we get closer to the AFL finals.
Great time of year.
Plus, this week we're joined by Stephen Curry, Jordan Lewis, Limo, and we'll have one of Australia's hottest singer-songwriters perform live from my desk.
Hey, it's Amy Sharp.
Triple M's Hot Breakfast. We're back tomorrow from 6.
For a lawyer who's there for you, visit gordonlegal.com.au.
Ahead of the Eagles and the D's from Optus Stadium.
This is the Week in Triple M Footy.
Hi, it's Luke Darcy, and this afternoon, Melbourne take on West Coast in Perth in a massive game for the D's if they want to keep their finals hopes alive. And earlier in the week on Triple M's Hot Breakfast, we were joined by Demons big man Maxi Gawn to find out just how his side is placed coming into the final couple of rounds of the AFL season.
Good morning, boys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Big Maxi.
You were magnificent on the weekend. What about the rest of your mob, though? You're sick of carrying them, mate.
I wouldn't call my game magnificent, but... look, we had a game where we've had a couple through the year where we dominate the inside 50s and just don't manage to put that score on the scoreboard, and it's becoming a frustrating trend in some of our losses. So we'll work on it. Unfortunately, we couldn't get the 4 points that we needed, but there's a glowing opportunity for us over in Perth this week. A
couple of big weeks coming up, Max. You go and take on the West Coast Eagles at home, and then you're back and face the Giants in what may be a finals deciding game. And you got more bad news yesterday. Jesse Hogan gone for the year with navicular stress reaction. That's a big play to cover, mate.
Yeah, it is. Whenever you hear that word navicular, you just sort of get a little bit nervous, especially around our club. We've had Jack Trengrove and Mitch Clark almost go career-ending with that. So from all reports, he's got on it very, very early, which is good news. It does mean that he's out for the potential 6 or 7 weeks there is left in the season, and hopefully rest up and come back in 2019. But from all reports, he's got on it early, which means good news.
Max, there's been a lot of press around, you know, there's some people who are taking, you know, delight in the idea that it's getting a bit wobbly for Melbourne at this end of the season. How do you shut out the external noise about finals, about these final two matches, about the idea that perhaps you haven't beaten anybody who's above you on the ladder? How do you shut out those messages and just get on with it?
Well, if you don't manage to shut out those messages, you'd almost cry every single Monday, so it can get very, very negative, especially when some of the trends that we've got, and the trend this year seems to be the one that we can't beat teams in a top eight position. So the reality is we got a team that's sitting second and a team that's sitting third to finish off the season, and we've got to win one of them. So we've got to break that trend. And not that it's highlighted during the week that it's a major trend, but it's something that we've got to get done. So I'm pretty good at shutting out the noise. The young guys are getting better at it, but yeah, like I said, if you don't shut out the noise, you're pretty upset come Monday.
Hey, Max, how are you travelling physically? You've had an incredible year. I love what you did in the off-season. You stripped off, half a dozen kilos or more, and you couldn't have played any better. Is it the point where it gets this time of year and you get a bit tight? How's your body holding up?
Yeah, I had a disappointing sort of recovery against Gold Coast, where I just got a bit of a cork in my calf, and it just didn't really come up to the point that I thought it would during the week, but I managed to get up and played against Sydney, and it's all better now. But there is a couple of bumps and bruises that are sticking around for a little bit longer than normal, and that's everybody's probably feeling that at this time of the year. So, but I did that over the off-season to get myself right for this time of the year, so I'm definitely ready for what the next few weeks has.
So, Max, how do you go into the next 2 weeks? Because yeah, when you look at the figures, I mean, there's the glass half full and the glass half empty, Dust. Okay, they haven't won games against teams above them, but you've been winning positions in a fair few of those occasions as well, whether you've got off to a good start or you've had the inside 50s or the other matrixes have been ticked off. So do you look at that and just go, right, there's only a minor thing here. We just need to readjust and keep our nerve going into this these last quarters. Is that what you talk about, Max? How do you set yourself up, as you said, with everything going for the next fortnight?
There's definitely a couple of different messages. There's one from the Sydney game where we had 20 more inside 50s and 34 shots on goal.
Yeah.
With six of them going out on the full, which is pretty amazing. It's like I was kicking every single one. But so there is that message that we are playing some good football, we're just not finishing it off. But there was also some stuff that we looked at on Monday and Tuesday around Sydney controlling the ball, which they did. They had 120 uncontested marks, which is a huge number for those that don't know. So there was definitely some elements of the game that we got to get right, other than just the score shots. So West Coast play similar to Sydney. They like to control the footy as well. So we've got to put the things we've learnt this week into practice straight away.
Hey, Max, earlier this morning I was reading in the paper that rosé has become the drink of choice around town, but I know that you're a Mercury cider man yourself, and so much so you've commissioned your own study into the hardest, toughest professions. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're up to, Maxi?
Yeah, and they did do a survey of Mercury cider to see who thrives under those tough circumstances, and surprisingly, morning radio host wasn't in the top 10, but there was emergency services. I think was number one, and working in the Army, soldier, Navy type stuff was number two. So some pretty tough jobs. AFL player was nowhere near the top as well, which I was a bit disgusted in. I thought we worked relatively hard to be somewhere near the top 10, but we definitely weren't there.
You used to be a chef too, Maxi, back in the day. Had a chef's rate.
I worked at Domino's for 4 or 5 years. And yep. I'm not sure if you call that a chef. I'm not even sure if it's food.
Five people at Domino's will be happy to hear that.
Yeah, there's a man who's pretty comfortable that he won't have to go back to working at Domino's.
Mercury Cider put me through a tough test the other day in the kitchen, and I was dropping stuff and almost chopped my thumb off when I was chopping an onion. So I don't think I've got the skills to be in there anymore.
Good on you, mate. Well, what you have got is the skills to be a superstar player and a ripping bloke as well. Good on you, Maxie. You have a big fortnight. It's going to be sensational watching you. It's part of the great fun of football when teams have their backs to the wall, but how they respond. And if Max Gorn is the bloke leading from the front, well, you expect the Demons to put up a pretty good effort.
Good luck, Maxie.
Thanks, boys. It's an exciting week of footy this week.
Ahead of West Coast and Melbourne from Optus Stadium.
This is the Week in Triple M Footy.
G'day, JB here. The Richmond juggernaut kept on motoring on Friday night as they got over the Bombers at the MCG. And yesterday, on the Saturday rub, we caught up with one of their young guns, Jaden Short.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Friday night football, MCG, get a win, book yourself a home final. Things don't get much better.
Yeah, it was a pretty good win. They held it to us for the whole game. But, it was good that the boys could hold on and get the win.
The mentality taken to last night's game, Jaden, where you couldn't lose a home final despite the connotations in the final two rounds. Did that change the mindset a little bit? Did it allow Richmond to, just take it a little bit easy at some stage?
No, I don't think it's anything we really ever spoke about. Obviously, we're missing a couple of boys that are key to our team, but obviously they went right during the week, so they didn't play. But it certainly wasn't anything we spoke about during the week. That we're going to hold back or anything like that. It was just the way it fell. And I think the boys like to play the best they can every week. And we didn't change our game style or anything like that last night for any other reason.
Hey, Jaden, I know the guys that missed out are going to come back in and they'll be ready to go. But do you think that, does it feel like you've settled and you know what your best side is and that's there aren't any positions available for anyone else? Or do you feel that there's still a couple of positions up for grabs?
Yeah, I'm not really too sure, to be honest. I'm not really a part of the selection process, but you see last night, we had five new blokes come in and play their role terrifically, and it's just a pretty good spot to be in where our VFL team's going pretty well as well, and we can look to use everyone on our list, and we know that they're going to come in and play a role.
Jaden, Billy here, mate. Great story here. You're a rookie listed. Took a few years or a couple of years to get into the side. Now you've cemented your place. You've done it tough.
Yeah, it's taken me a while, but I obviously been playing my first year and played a little bit my second year as a forward and stuff. So I've been thrown around a little bit, but I'm enjoying playing in the back line. I'm loving playing in the team. Yeah, it's been awesome.
And you've always been a really good kick.
I might think I have been a relatively good kicker. I've worked on it pretty hard, and it's sort of something I pride my game on. But I'm sure there's always kicks I'm not going to hit and stuff like that. But yeah, I do sort of pride my game on my kicking. Yeah.
Hey, Jaden, I'm doing my All Australian team shortly. Oh. How have you rated your year? I've got you on the halfback flank at the minute. Do you think you've had an All Australian year?
Oh. It's not really something I've ever really thought about, to be honest. This year I missed out last year, so I sort of just trying to cement my spot. But certainly All Australia isn't really anything I've thought about trying to make or worrying about making, to be honest. It's just sort of trying to hold my spot and play as many games as I can and stay in the team.
And having the luxury of having guys like Rant and these guys down there, you can almost be on the bike before the contest is actually won because you back your teammates to win those important 50-50 balls.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. I get to play with the best backman each week, and they sort of make my role a lot easier. They're the best at winning the ball back, and they're always looking to use me as well. So that sort of makes my job a little bit easier, and they're awesome to play with. And, you know what you're going to get each week. It's just unbelievable.
Jaden, just want to play a part of Damien Hardwick's post-match press conference last night. This particular part is he's referencing to the umpires.
I'll leave that to other people, I think. It was a frustrating night, there's no doubt. Look, once again, it's not the free kicks that we give away. You know, the vast majority, the 80% are there, but it's the ones we don't get that probably I find a little bit frustrating. You know, I look at Jack tonight and I thought, you know what? He doesn't get much. And I look at the other end and think, I wish he was playing for the other end. But anyway, that is what it is.
Do you have a view on that, Jaden? I'm not trying to get you into trouble, but do you as a group feel that your own full forward doesn't get the treatment that others in the comp, in your eyes, may get?
Oh, not really, to be honest. It's sort of, you know, we'd love Jack to get some free kicks and stuff because we love him kicking goals. But, yeah, look, the umpires, they have a role to play, and that's their job, is to the umpire the game. So, you know, we can't really change their call if that's a decision they're going to make. And, yeah, obviously, they think that's the right decision. So we don't look to, you know, really argue or try and change their decision. It's sort of, we understand that they've got a role to play in the game, and we accept the decisions they make.
Have you seen Dimmer today?
No, I haven't. I think it's his birthday today. So,
yes, mate. I was just going to say, send him a little text message and just keep in the good books with him.
Yeah, I've seen he was out for breakfast before, so he had a nice breakfast. His birthday.
46 today, is
46.
Yeah, still a young man.
Mm. Yep.
Hey, Jaden, congratulations. As to be mentioned in Wayne Carey's All-Australian team is just an indication of how well you've gone. Good luck with what is a massive month and a half.
Beautiful. Thanks, boys.
Cheers. Coming up from one, it's the Sunday Rub.
Ahead of the Eagles and the D's from Optus Stadium.
As Triple M rocks football.
Shut up. Ahead of West Coast and Melbourne from Optus Stadium.
Footies on the radio.
This is the Week in Triple M Footy.
Triple M ranks football.
Shut up. The footies on Triple M.
Hi, it's Luke Darcy, and this year's EJ Witten Legends game is going to be held in Adelaide during the bye weekend before the AFL finals. Earlier in the week on Triple M's Hot Breakfast, we caught up with one of the Victorian stars, Travis Cloak.
Good morning, guys. Thank you very much for having me.
Last time we saw you, mate, Becky was in, your partner, and little baby June Scarlett is now 9 months old. How's that treating you?
Yeah, life's changed a lot, that's for sure. Gone from playing full-time footy to full-time dad. But saying that, I wouldn't change it. She's fantastic, on the move, crawling, eating anything she can find, and I guess anything goes in her mouth. So it's a bundle of love.
How's you got a bit of acreage? You got the animals out there?
Yeah, it's going well. We're on a few acres out in the Yarra Valley. Yeah. My wife's still on the hunt for more animals. I'm trying to convince her to get a cow. So, yeah.
What do you want a cow for?
Why not? Negotiations are going well. I think it's moving towards getting one in November when we get back from holidays.
What sort of cow do you want?
I want a Highland cow, so the big shaggy one, little horns. But I want it from a little, like 4 months, so I can actually get out, pat it, lead it. So later on in life, it's acclimatised to people and be part of the family.
Well, you're talking to Ed, who's an animal hater, Clokey, so he doesn't quite understand what you're getting at. The love of an animal.
Not for everyone.
The only reason that Ed would get a cow is for the full farm-to-table experience.
I say I like to eat them.
Clokey, hey, congratulations, mate. Getting behind the EJ Witten Legends game over in Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval, and it's going to be sensational. Brad Johnson, Terry Wallace, captain and coach of the Victorian team that Travis Cloak will be a big part of. Malcolm Blight, Chad Corns, captaining the All-Stars. Good to see you back out there, mate. Well done.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Obviously, the opportunity came to be part of it. It's the first year out of Melbourne the game's gone. So we're going to Adelaide, played Adelaide Oval.
It's actually not, I don't think.
No?
No.
Not for a long while.
No. Yeah, I called it once over there at Adelaide Oval.
We're going back to Adelaide.
In the early days. Yeah, we're going back to Adelaide. Now, what was the appeal? The game of footy, the supporting the cause, or the fact that you're a young father and you get a weekend away?
All three.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm looking forward. Obviously, it's a fantastic cause, great opportunity. The game I grew up watching and really honoured and respected what the boys did in playing. And obviously the other one is going to Adelaide. My wife's not coming, unfortunately, so I'll catch up with some old teammates and we'll reminisce.
What old teammates are going over to Adelaide?
Didz is over there, obviously, a hometown of Adelaide, Benny Johnson, and a good mate, Campbell Brown. So
might get a bit Shannon Knoll style outside the crazy horse at 2 o'clock in the morning.
That doesn't sound like a Campbell Brown, Alan Dydak, Ben Johnson. Yeah. Clokey back for one last. Oh, hang on a minute. Heading down the Barossa Valley on the Saturday pregame just for a pregame warm-up. You've been good, Nick.
Yeah, something along those lines, yes.
Now, Trav, I've got to say, though, you've got to make sure that you actually play well in this game because somebody else in this studio has played in this game previously and did not represent themselves.
Be careful here.
No. Or this show.
I played with unbelievable duress last year. Mm. That's why I haven't been able to make
it this
year.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's have a listen to Wayne Carey's halftime speech to Luke Darcy last year.
Listen, really poor in the second part of that quarter. I'm not sure what happened. Darce. I didn't want you as skipper. You all knew that. I said that before the game. You said you had something in you. You played like you've been terrible.
I was off the ground, mate.
You've been terrible. Your centre bounce work, Bungie. We've got a two-time Norm Smith medalist in there, and you can't get the ball anywhere near him. At least put it within a 5 metre radius of him. Get your hands to it. Get up. Get your knee into him. A bit of aggression.
I got dragged 30 seconds into that game. I took the first bounce. The runner came out and said, you're off. That was it, Clokey. You'll do much better than that, mate. Look at that. Look, you're in great nick, mate. You been keeping fit?
I'm playing a few games for a local club at Hurstbridge, but apart from that, no. I've just been cruising around, so I'm looking forward to
it. How are Hurstbridge going, mate, in the local league?
Not great. We've got to win one of the last two games to not get relegated, so fingers crossed we can win.
Well, that's like a premiership, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. We need to get there, so I'll be a part of it for the next 2 weeks, and hopefully we get a win. And that'll be my first win since August last year, so it'll be nice.
Hey, look forward to the event. It is going to be an absolute ripper too. The EJ Witten Chemist Warehouse Legends Game over in Adelaide. And there's some 15,268 games of experience there, 60 All-Australian selections, 50 AFL premierships, 3 Brownlow medals. They're all out there. And, Clark, you'll be playing for the big V. So we're looking forward to seeing that.
Ahead of the Eagles and the Ds from Optus Stadium.
This is the Week in Triple M Footy.
G'day, it's Billy Brownless. During the week on the Rush Hour, we spoke to Triple M Footy's Joey Montagna about the future of his old club, the poor old Saints.
We've got the St Kilda Football Club front and centre because it looks like, Joey, that there are grumblings behind the scenes. Now, we've had some attempts at aggressive takeovers recently. We saw one ill-fated with the Richmond Footy Club, and thank God that didn't get up because they've only gone from strength to strength ever since.
Yes.
But there's talk about what's going on just in the backgrounds and involving some pretty famous St Kilda names, Jim Watts being one of them. Tell us what you know and what you think might be coming at us.
To be honest, I don't know a lot. I'm like everyone else. I hear lots of things. You know, there are a lot of people that are frustrated with the direction of the club and what's happening. I'm hearing things through the media as well about, you know, the president and CEO and all that sort of stuff. But I'm not really up to date with exactly how it's going to pan out. All I do know is that it does seem like a lot of people, you know, feel like change is necessary to get the club going in the direction.
Do you agree with that?
I think to a certain extent. I think Simon Lefleen is the man that's been appointed to do that. So you've got to trust, I suppose, the people that are in the powers to make those calls. And that's where I sit. I mean, people have been employed to make those decisions. What I do know, I think that everyone that is involved in this process, where there are people that are upset, they all want the best for the football club. And that's the most important thing. Everyone wants to see St Kilda Football Club succeed because the fans deserve it, the members and everyone involved in the club deserve it. So it is a difficult time. It does feel like there is going to be some change. How much, we don't know. And that stems right down from the top, from board level, which, as I said, I don't know a lot about, to all the way down to the playing group, which, you know, it feels like there's going to be a fair bit of change as well with players coming in and out of the football club. So whatever happens, hopefully it's all for the better of the football club.
Have you been spoken to about a potential role?
Not really, not specifically. There's been some loose conversations about, you know, would we be interested in getting involved in some capacity, and those things haven't been, as I said, too formal. They've just been some loose conversations depending on what happens and what positions are available. So, look, as I said, I'm like everyone else. I would love to help the football club. I want to see them succeed, but there's still plenty of water to go under the bridge.
Nick Riewoldt on the same subject. Yui?
I've had some conversations about what that might look like and my role presently in the media and the challenges that might exist there. I don't have any desires at this stage to coach or to do anything within the football department. I think as well, having a role in the media to a certain extent precludes you from doing that because of the conflict that does exist. But there have been plenty of people in the past that have sort of had dual roles. But again, at this stage, it's not something that I'm entertaining.
360 last night, that was, Jim. Rui on that. But what would you like to do at the club?
No, I don't know. And I think Nick touched on
it. Do you have a desire?
Oh, well, you're always sort of keen, as I said, to help out the football club if they need you, and you've got to find the right role. And as Rui said, probably with himself and myself, being in the media makes it obviously more difficult in what you can do. You know, you can't probably do anything full time in a coaching capacity.
Chris Judd does.
Juddy does, yeah. I mean,
he's
some.
A director.
I mean,
you know,
James did it for a long time.
Jim
you can do it, no doubt. But as I think Rui touched on and well, my position, there's still plenty to go on the football club with what positions are available, who's wanted in what role. So, look, we'll wait and see. But at the moment, no, there's nothing there for me at the football club.
Do you think change is needed, though? You know the joint better than anyone else. Do you look at St Kilda and go, we're a new group to sweep in? Is that a good thing? Is that what's necessary? Because you spoke to a lot of Richmond people when that whole, as I said, that fiasco was floated about 2 years ago. And the majority of Richmond people you spoke to at the time said, no, we've finally got stability. We finally feel like we know where we're bloody going. This would be a disaster. How do you feel about the rumblings we're hearing?
Yeah, look, I think St Kilda still need to in a lot of areas still need to find improvement. And whether that is with the personnel in regards to the playing personnel, with the way that the coaching and development structure has gone, whether it's at recruitment and list level and board level, I feel there is still a lot of improvement in that football club. So that's why I think a lot of people feel that the change is necessary. It's more improvement. You've just got to continue to find ways to improve, because at the moment, you look at the top teams and the teams that are consistently at the top of the ladder, and St Kilda have got a bit way to go to get there. So you need to find ways to continue to improve not only your football list, but your football club.
Joe, I don't want to feel like I'm grilling you, but when I first in the old past life started that role, the thing I always said was, until as a footy club, you can, with a big black outline, tick 5 boxes, and those 5 boxes are president, CEO, head of footy, coach, and captain.
Yep.
And at the time when I first started, Geelong were the sharpest team in the comp.
Yep.
And you looked at what they had. They had Frank Costa, tick, Brian Cook, tick, Steve Hocking, tick.
Yep.
Bomber Thompson at that stage was a comprehensive tick, 2008, around that, there. And then Tom Harley.
Neil Baum.
You're ticking that. So you say, well, it's no surprise when you can comprehensively tick all 5 of those boxes that they are at the sharp end of what we're doing.
Yeah. But they did go through this, Jim. Remember?
Well, of course they did.
Frank Costa went to the AFL and he said to whoever was the CEO then, who's the best CEO in the comp? And they said, it's Brian Cook, but he's over in the West Coast Eagles. He won't move from there. You won't get him. Somehow Frank Costa got him.
Yeah.
Then they got Neil Baum. They had to replace the footy and got Neil Baum, so they had to put him in the spot. And then, of course, they got Bomber, who they kept, who was going to go. And then the captain was replaced at the time, was Stephen King. And he got replaced by Tom Harley. So it does take a bit of time and effort.
Okay, so the question I'm going to ask you, and I don't want to put you on the spot, how many of those boxes are being ticked by St Kilda at the moment?
No, well, look, I can't answer that. That's why, as I said at the start, you employ people to make those decisions, people that know more and have got more knowledge than myself. But as I think Bill touched on, you just need the best people you can possibly get in those roles to give yourself a chance of success. So whether they are already there or they're needed to be found, that's the challenge for St Kilda. And probably, Bill, to touch up on that, you need money too, don't you? It's St Kilda. Everyone knows the club's in debt, so it makes it hard to go and just buy the best, whatever role it is, CEO or football manager or whatever it is at a football club. So all those things combined are making it challenging for the Saints, but everyone's got the best interests at heart, and hopefully we've got the right people that can help take the club forward.
The Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
It's the Rush Hour family's favourite segment. Bill's had enough stuff up that we've compiled a magnificent idiot file full of stuff like this. Former Wallaby and all the rest of it.
Oh, yes. And?
Bill.
Well, give me a synopsis.
I beg your pardon?
Give me a succinct the show, Jim. Succinct it, please, now.
A synopsis.
Yes.
You can hear the whole thing by downloading the Triple M app.
The Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
For Diablo Power Tools and Accessories.
Tomorrow from 2.
Triple M.
Ahead of West Coast and Melbourne from Optus Stadium.
This is the Week in Triple M Footy.
G'day, it's JB, and after their loss to Richmond Friday night, Essendon's season appears over. Now, the big questions are about the club and the future of some of its brightest stars.
Now that it's done, from a finals perspective, effectively for Essendon, we can analyse what has happened, Duck. And we've all, at some stage, reflected upon the 2-win, 6-loss component to the season, where they changed up big time and then won 9 of the ensuing matches. But they're going to fall short. Is it a wasted year in the context of how well they've played in that back half of it? Because before you answer it to Duck, we'll just get John Worsfold's take on what has happened since they turned it around.
We've worked extremely hard this year on bringing through some young players, covering some injured players, on changing our game to become a team that's going to be able to take on the best teams in the comp and win. I would say the hard work is going to be rewarded. But for those people who just want to measure it just on we didn't play in the finals, then yes, we missed the finals. So you can label that how you want.
I understand he's got that view, and obviously you respect that because he's the one who's lived it. But
you've got to sell something.
You've got to sell something. But ultimately, Bill, a season of football has been thrown away. Now, that's obviously a harsh description, BT, Dark Bill, Jim. Mm. But they've wasted a season of footy. I say wasted because their best is worthy of a finals appearance and maybe even a couple of finals wins.
Well, with respect to Woosha, we will judge it on what we've seen this year because that's what we're there to do.
Exactly.
And the simple facts are it has been a wasted year. The poor start set them back, and they were never really going to make
lost six out of their first eight.
Yeah, but but from that point on, BT, they have been.
It was after the Carl
Cross
in round eight. Yes. They have been really good and about where they should be. If you look, I think they lost another four games after that. That's about where they should
That's
be.
Right. Yeah, no, there's no question that they are a good enough team to be playing finals this year.
Have done it
and winning a final,
a final. So off the back of that. Wasted year.
Yeah,
and,
I'm with you.
And off the back, don't forget, off the back of not having their best forward available all year.
That's right. And I agree with Woosher in terms of what they've developed and players been proving and everything else. They've had some real improvement from within their team. But as a team, I mean, the individuals have had real improvement. But as a team, it is a wasted year.
So, Duck, if you... too simplistic to just get the group together whenever you do and just point out to them the fact that it's now 14 years since this club won a final. Yeah, and we're talking Essendon
that's,
here.
That's surprising.
So you'd be putting that up on the whiteboard and you'd be going, boys, if we stand for anything as a footy club, we've got to fix this in 2019. Yep. We cannot allow this to continue to happen.
And that's what I think what's so surprising to us all, given who they got, and the three players that they picked up, Sard, Smith and Stringer, all had good years.
Good years.
Two of them great years. Smith and Sard.
Yep.
Stringer's had a good year. So, you know, they've added depth. And after, you know, obviously making finals last year, making finals, not winning a final, we just thought automatically that we thought the hunger that they'd come into the year.
One thing they've got to solve, and you're in a forthright mood this morning, I can sense that.
Oh, boy.
You're giving really honest, direct feedback and opinion.
Thank you.
And we like that. So we want that to continue. Brendan Goddard, what should he do?
Cooked.
Cooked? Gone?
Yep.
Should finish up.
He was injured last night.
Yeah.
He was injured last night.
Should he have played?
But no, because of the way he played.
Well, and
so he was a passenger last night. And look, we've all played poor games, and I'm judging Brendan on the amount of times I've watched Essendon play live. And I will say this year,
which is quite a few.
I think it's about seven.
Yep.
Seven or eight live games.
Yeah.
Out of those seven or eight games, I reckon Brendan's played two really good ones, and the others I think he's been wanting a little bit. Now, he is the third man. Brendan Goddard isn't a McGovern.
No.
He isn't a Yeo. He's not, you know, if he's going to be that
intercept
player.
Yeah.
Snowy off the trams can play that role.
No, not every player can play that. They've got to be a good kick one and a good decision maker.
So, once again, let me finish. Out of the seven, or eight games that I've watched him play this year live, he's played two really, really good ones, and the others are...
Yeah, you've said that. I don't think
you're repeating.
Well, Billy was talking over me.
Right.
So,
retire.
For me,
333 games.
Outsider looking in, I think he's cooked.
So in one of the more beautiful pieces of irony, as soon as Duck finishes spraying BJ Goddard, he walks in to our box and says, I'm playing next year.
And Duck just got the chest out and said, that's how it is.
And someone took off the other way. Yeah, Duck went the other way.
No, he did. He went straight into the pot.
I like it. And we're also trying to work out what's going on with the hair with BJ.
Well, you were, Jim.
That's a fascination to me.
Hey, Bill. Yes. I noticed you tried to, you sort of tried to embarrass me.
Oh, well, Duck, he rolled up, mate.
Yeah, and I just said to BJ, well, yeah, I reckon you're cooked.
And he's playing next year.
And BJ said, I'm playing on.
Said the chances are he's going to play on. And
your first reaction, though, was to duck.
Well, I was in shock.
You ducked. You ducked down below the window so
really?
You couldn't see.
You reckon I'd be scared of BJ?
No, I'm just saying scared of, special guest. Responsive.
Oh, boy.
Now.
Coming up from one, it's the Sunday Rub.
Ahead of West Coast of Melbourne from Optus Stadium.
As Triple M rocks football.
In the world of AFL, there is one modern-day player that rises above all else.
I'd be happy to put my name up as the chairman.
Whose opinions and judgments we respect.
I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
The situations are real. The verdicts are final. This is Judge Judy.
Thanks for staying up for Judge Judy, everyone. The best on ground votes this week go to Slovakian woman identified as Eva, who was arrested after she played the same opera song on repeat for the last 16 years.
Oh, gee.
The song in question was Giuseppe Verdi's La Traviata. And she started playing it originally to drown out the neighbour's dog barking and then refused to take it off for 16 years. She's not sure if she took it off while she slept, Duke. It reads as though it just played continuously.
It does.
She's been charged with harassment and faces up to 6 months in the big house. So
I thought you were going to throw to maybe a bit of bit of the track or not.
Well, Nath likes to incorporate the music into his top five. It's not something I do. But I mean, in lots of ways, she's got everything that is admired by the Friday Huddle: determination, malice, and sticking to your guns. But I just don't know how respected she'll be in jail. Now, generally, you hear that people in jail are respected for your assaults or your violent crimes. Mm. Brownie, I'm not sure how far you're up a song on repeat.
Going that well in there.
No, you'd be out of her. Anyway, we'll move on. Worst on ground votes. One vote goes to
Miss
Fletcher.
Is that it for that one?
That's it for that one. Yeah, I was hoping you'd give me something that I could work with, but that was not really entertaining what you threw up, so I thought it best not to flog a dead horse, Duke. Worst on ground vote. One vote goes to Miss Fletcher from Canada, who is suing Canada Dry Ginger Howie.
Yes.
Because she's been through the ingredients list and there is no ginger in Canada Dry Ginger. Now, I think what we immediately think of when we hear this story is that Dr. Pepper's in trouble because there is no pepper in Dr. Pepper and it's not actually made by doctors. And speaking to my legal team during the week, I just want to make it abundantly clear that technically I'm not a real judge, but we are putting some things in place.
Or a real doctor.
A real healer, Duke, and the big-nosed producer can attest to my efficaciousness with that. The two votes for worst on the ground
That's
go to Ptahms, who is the 13th century BC mayor of Memphis in Egypt.
Right.
I found it puzzling that there is a place in Egypt called Memphis but turns out there is. And this is what he did before he passed away.
Researchers have found the most ancient solid cheese. The tomb of the mayor of Memphis in Egypt during the 13th century BC was rediscovered in 2010, and archaeologists found broken jars at the site a few years later. One jar contained a solidified whitish mass. Testing suggests the sample was a dairy product made from cow milk and sheep or goat milk.
Now, I love cheese as much as the next bloke, Duke, as was evidenced from the six pizzas I knocked off pre-show, but I don't get the decision to take it into the tomb with you, Howie. Jules, I understand. Jules, in many ways, they show you're either smart or tough. You've either been smart enough to earn the jewels or you've been tough enough to steal them from someone. So I get taking jewels into the tomb. But you and you'll know that Beck and I are currently building a house and we're planning on
tomb. I broke that story, Jenny.
You did? We're planning on a tomb-like facility at the new estate.
Really?
When we pass away, we're going to innovate a little bit, Howie. We're obviously going to have the jewels because that makes sense. And me being both intelligent and tough, that'd make sense. Yeah, but we're also going to have some digital treasure in our tomb. Couple of screens. Beck's going to have some of her Insta highlights playing over and over. I've cherry-picked the best 2,100 hours my game day highlights.
2,100 hours.
Which was, I just had to cut it off there, Duke. It was just getting too laborious. But we'll have them going on the screen, just sort of your next generation of tombs. So, but there will be no cheese. And the third.
Just before the third.
Sorry, go on.
What were you watching during the week that popped up in your radar? That audio.
This was, I uncovered this on some of the DD I'm doing on Egyptian property. And it could be a good time to buy property in Cairo, just quietly. And
Memphis.
Certainly won't be buying it near this bloke's tomb, stinking of dirty cheese. But are we ready to move on?
Yes. We are.
The three votes this week go to dating apps. It's not the first time I've tackled them in Judge. But there's clearly too much pressure on people to deal with the myriad of options that dating apps open up. And I speak of, in particular, Kelton Griffin from Memphis. This is Memphis in America, funnily enough, who this week was on a date and was driving with a young lady who he was on a date with. And he told the lady that he wanted her to buy him some cigars, which I think is a reasonable request when you're driving along. Yeah. And she pulled over, got out of the car to buy him some cigars, at which time he took off and stole her Volvo because he had another date he had to get to, funnily enough, and took that date in at the drive-in before the police eventually caught up with him and arrested him for stealing the first date's Volvo. And I just think this is an example of a good guy that's being put under too much pressure from these dating apps. And we're gonna cut this out, Duke, because he's a good one that's got away.
It's a nice version, Joe.
It was indeed.
I like the mention of the Volvo. It was always legendary on this radio station that Jason Dunstall used to drive a brown Volvo.
Yes, he actually did for many years.
Nate Brown picked us up tonight
in
a brown Audi.
Mm.
I've never seen a brown poo coloured out.
It's an aftermarket colour, Howie. It's not the normal one they go out to the production line with. So
why did you decide to buy a brown Audi?
Well, it looked pretty cool. It looked like something I hadn't seen before, and I like unique things, and that certainly wet my whistle.
Brown by name, brown by nature.
That is right, Chris.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Up next, it's the Sunday Rub.
Ahead of West Coast and Melbourne from Optus Stadium.
As Triple M rocks football.